When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everyone. It's Gabby. And we're going to start doing some bonus episodes weekly for the listeners. And what we're trying to do is just take these specific bite-sized topics, go through them pretty quickly, and drill down on specific takeaways. What we're also doing is we fielded some questions and we try to elaborate from there. Hi, I love these bonus shows because it's sort of like after you do the show and do the interview and then the show comes out, you always kind of think about it. I mean, I always think about it a little bit more. And we had Rick Rubin and Stephen Mitchell, both really incredibly intelligent, spiritual people. One of the things that seemed to come up again was this idea of controlling your life or your environment with little or no force. And, you know, I'd like to expand on that a little bit. Because I don't think the important part of this question that I originally had for Rick was about controlling your life. It's maybe for me, it's now the opposite. Maybe it's somebody who does try to organize things and will things and muscle things that maybe not only is that the illusion that we actually can, but that's where a lot of the misery, or as Stephen's wife, Katie, would talk about, kind of the suffering, you know, thinking that we are in control of what our children think and do, or our partners, or our bosses, or otherwise. And so maybe what I should have asked Rick was, where does he find this peace within himself that seems to greatly impact his environment without willing it or forcing it or demanding it or, you know, bossing everybody around. But I will say there is a very clear, when you're with him and if you, you know, work alongside of him, with him, for him, kind of an expectation of like what the program is. You know, like if I'll give you an example. He has an incredible man named Dave who works with him. And Dave is one of those people who solves problems, fixes anything, and appears to do it with, you know, without tons of emotion or it doesn't seem like a big burden to him. And so it's an interesting thing where he has a lot of people like this around him. And I guess, you know, this idea in the Tao where it said that, I'll paraphrase, that maybe when we get to the place where we master ourselves, which is probably surrender, right? Which is acceptance and surrender and trying to live in reality versus in all of the shoulds, then we no longer have the need to try to master others. And yeah, but it's hard. I think it's hard not to think that, oh, if I try a little harder or exert my will on this situation, it will not sort of be more how I want it to be. And I don't think that that's the case. And Rick is, and Stephen, for that matter, they're very good examples of that. How do we take the next necessary steps to move ourselves in one direction or the other? So let's say maybe where you're working too much, how would one slow down versus maybe someone's in a more relaxed place, and how would you kick it up, get stuff going? You know, I think it's not so black and white. I think first of all, let's take somebody who's working hard. Are they hiding in their work? Why are they grinding so hard? Are they trying to amass a fortune? Do they want to have power? Do they want to be the boss? Or are they on a mission? You know, they're building homeless shelters for mothers and children, or they've got a, you know, a garden box program for elementary schools. So I think it's lining up honestly within yourself as to, first of all, does it require that much work? Could you be successful and still make time for your relationships and your self-care and those types of things? Or are you hiding in your work? Or if you think, oh, I'm going to be a CEO of a Fortune 500, have you thought about, have you mapped out the other parts of your life? Is it important to you to be, to have fruitful friendships, to be connected to a partner, maybe to have a family? And there's no right answer. It's just being really clear and looking ahead. There's a great book called Strength to Strength by Arthur C. Brooks. I'll be interviewing him soon, that talks a lot about how so many type A people get all this meaning from their work, but then they sort of neglect everything else. So if you're working too hard, get dialed in first to what are you working really hard at? What is it contributing to your world that you live in and your life? And as far as slowing down, I think it's more about, are you addicted to it? And is it a place that you're hiding from your real life from? And if it is, then yeah, incorporate quality time with friends or your partner, and definitely don't neglect your health. And I know that's easier said than done, but even if it means going and taking a walk, it's really important. But I think most people work really hard for reasons that are below the surface. And if you're mellow and you're thinking you want to generate some action, what do you want to do? What excites you? What turns you on? It's not about what you were supposed to do or you're a business major or it doesn't matter. But on some level, there's a certain amount of hard work has to get done in life. What do you want to do? And I think the other part of this is energy begets energy. So also, if you could kick up your self-care life, exercise and eating well, you'll have more energy to give. But if there's something you're interested in, you could go and ask for someone. You know, I always say you can interview and mentor, ask for mentorship, volunteer at certain things if you think you're curious. But if you think whatever it is going to land at your front door, knock on it and say, I'm here now, your dream job, the thing that you're ready to work hard for, it's just not the way it happens. So I think first it's dialing in. Who am I? What do I like? What do I have people skills? Am I antisocial? All of it's okay, but it's really knowing so that you can start to orient towards something that really reflects you, that would excite you, that you wouldn't mind working hard at. But again, with that balance, work is a part of our life. It cannot take up all of our lives. And I know that's easier said than done, especially if you're 23 and you have a startup. I get it. But just look at it. Just really keep looking at it and making sure you're at least honest with yourself about the role that working and working a lot plays in your life. There's a follow-up about how do we find the line and the balance between a little force and going out of your comfort zone? I think it's about like your whys first. I believe when we're lined up with why we're doing something, then when we ask for things or we're doing things, I think there is no force because our intentions, our why is honest and clear. So I think if something makes you uncomfortable, it's new, you're not very good at it, you're scared, but you want to do it, you're afraid you might fail, but you're called to do it, this is important. We should be doing this all the time. We should be taking on things in our life, if we're inspired to, that make us nervous and question ourselves and doubt ourselves. This is such a big part of life. This is growth, and being good at something is fun, it's nice, but moving out of your comfort zone in a healthy way, that's living, and that's expanding as a human being. That's going to school. So I think the force thing gets turned into a different definition as far as we talk about forcing things when we're really lined up with our why. and we're transparent with all of those people around us, like we're being super clear about what we're asking for and why we're asking and what our intentions are, even when they're more brutal, that's okay, just very clear. But I think a force and moving out of our comfort zone, I think those are really, really, those are different things. Now, if we're moving out of our comfort zone, out of our ethics, our values, and we're forced something that way, that's something different. Well, there was a question also if I had any tools. I swear to God, the older I get, the less tools I have. I'm kidding. But I was discussing this concept with my friend Elijah, who is responsible, really was the impetus for everything. Like, you should interview Rick Rubin. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up a book that might talk about these nuances. It's called Insights on Power versus Force, and it's by David Hawkins. So if you're looking for some kind of like green light to be in your power without always feeling like, am I forcing it? Maybe that would be a great place to start, where, because listen, you want to be in your power. You want to be strong. You want to be clear. You want to go for things. But what's that line, right? Like where it's, we're doing it in the tone that has, I'll put air quotes around it, something in the positive direction, versus a lot of times with force that obviously has a sort of a negative feel to it. So anyway, Power versus Force by David Hawkins. Living with Laird, I think a lot of times, you know, people can view us from the outside and think that we're just always intense and pushing and lifting and moving. And there's a part of that that there might be some truth to that. But we, you know, we've been together for almost 27 years, and I think, quite frankly, you almost have to become more pliable in order to live with each other, and people have strong personalities. Laird, no, I'm kidding. I do too. See, he won't listen to this. I can say anything I want. No, but there's always balance. I think both of us are very interested in working hard where we can and the things that we can control. And pushing, I don't know about pushing and force. It's like working hard, listening to the voice inside, asking for what you need. I have a harder time with that. Like, even with this interview, I did not want to ask Rick over and over. And it was Laird who kind of pushed him a little bit. So there's an example where I knew it would be good. Like, I knew it would feel good for them to be together for them. But I have a hard time, if you can believe it, imposing myself too much on other people. But I always admire when someone is just able to be out with it, right? Like, they don't have, it's not like they're just trying to get something for nothing, so they don't have a bad motive, but it's like, hey, do you want to do this interview? Yes or no? And so I think that's a nuance that I'm really trying to work on. So as far as hard work goes, I do that in my training life, and I do that in my self-discipline and, you know, my communication and you know, try to take care of my house and my work and follow up. I'm trying not to push. And, you know, it's not about force. Sometimes it's also, though, at times in work and things, it's about trying to be in charge and just saying, okay, I am allocating. I'm responsible for this space. And I'm going to do my very best to be diligent. I'm going to be a diligent steward of whatever space I'm responsible for. So I think letting things come to me is different. I think life is giving us signs all the time. So if you're in sport, like I was asked, like if you're in a competition or match, I think that's something else. That's about trying to be your very best to shift things that way. But in career, I think it's like continuing to pay attention to yourself and where you're at and who you are and what your strengths are and going for it that way. The other hard part of that is like I'm not an any all cost person, so I'm not really willing to step on someone's neck to get ahead. So I think a lot of times people equate those types of tendencies as being forceful. I like the law of attrition. Like I'm just going to keep on keeping, and something's going to show up. The final thought or the final question is, can a person have motivation, drive, determination with no force? Does it work in all aspects of our life and work, like for athletes, someone trying to thrive in business? The example is like Kobe Bryant is known to have been a monster, you know, with a huge workforce. Could somebody excel? Could he have succeeded at such a high level without that? Truth be told, and I live with someone like this, I do think a little bit obsession, I don't know if it's unavoidable, I'll be honest. But I don't know, like the obsession, I think that level of greatness comes from that. However, are you willing to pay the price? Because there's just enough statistics, I mentioned the book earlier, about the misery that comes eventually, because we're not always going to be number one. We're not always going to be the big boss. We're not always going to, you know, our legacy isn't so important. We have all these things and our whys. So no, I don't actually think you can really be great without serious determination. I don't know if that's the same thing as force. I think you can do it with a lot of grinding work and motivation and drive. I don't know if you have to force it. But what I would say is that no matter what success we get, I mean, literally, like be the most famous person in the world, at some point it's going to end. And actually, it doesn't make us happy because then we're on this treadmill. So, could you, in that drive and determination and spending hours and hours, would there be a window of time in there that you could have, you could connect with two people, one good friend and a lover if you want one, or two good friends, and find the time to take care of yourself? I must say it on every show, but I genuinely believe the greatest actual asset that we own, I'm not talking about our human relationships, is our health. And if we ignore it or neglect it completely just for external success, I think we're missing the point. So everybody can do it how they want. I don't care if you're in your office and you're, you know, you meditate between calls and you're on a walking treadmill in your desk. I don't care. But I just don't know if the cost, the price that we end up paying to be, you know, sort of the best is worth it if we don't figure out the way how to implement these relationships and this kind of practice along the way. But I really enjoyed the reminders that Rick and Stephen offered us. I love Stephen's version of the Tao Te Ching. And, you know, I think it's inspiring to see people that have the ability and the courage and the good fortune to not only do it their unique way, but also what I find fascinating is these guys have been at it for a long time. And maybe that's the other reminder. We're all valuable, whether we're just starting and we're 20, you've got something to contribute. But we have other things to contribute, whether we're in our 70s, and even in Stephen's case, he's close to 80. And I just want to use that as a reminder, because we are all connected. So how are we teaching each other and supporting each other, and younger people teaching older people about the world that we're in now, and older people sort of giving experience and wisdom of things that they've seen, patterns over the years? I just think it's important. We've moved more and more away from that. And I think having that in pockets wherever we are is, it's just priceless. So I hope you enjoyed the original podcast, and thank you for joining me on this. That wraps it up for today. Make sure to follow us on Spotify for free episodes and subscribe to The Gabby Reece Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me at Gabby Reece on Instagram and Twitter. Aloha.